There's certainly confusion, and Peter has a great confession. So the next thing you would say is, well, surely the next point is a command. Yeah. Jesus will say to Peter, yeah, that you're absolutely right, Peter. That's fantastic. You just make sure that you, all the other guys in the band are signed up to this program and go out into the marketplaces, into the synagogues, and tell everyone that I am the Messiah. That's what you'd think, wouldn't you? So often Jesus surprises us, because what happens next is what I would call a contradiction. It's not that Jesus says, you're right, Peter, go and tell everyone. It's, you're right, Peter, don't tell anyone. He said, what? Is that translation right? Is that what it says in your Bible too? It's what it says in mine. It's a contradiction. You know what a contradiction is. You're on holiday and you're hungry and you go into a restaurant and you fancy fish and chips and you look at the menu and it says, you know, jumbo cod and crispy beer batter with thrice fried chips, and you think, oh, that sounds great. Oh, I really fancy that. And then when it comes, the jumbo cod is about the size of a sardine, and the batter is soggy and tasteless, and the thrice fried chips are some mush, you know, and it's just like that. What's on the plate contradicts what's in the menu, and what Jesus says contradicts what we would think would happen. He says, don't tell anyone. Verse 21 says this, Jesus strictly warned them. That's pretty severe, isn't it? And he strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. Why? Why on earth did he say that? Well, I think the reason quite simply is that the disciples, you know, bless their little sandals, you know, were on the wrong side of the cross at this point in time. They were before the cross. The cross had not happened. The cross, we've been hinting at this in earlier parts of the service, you know, the cross changes everything. Changes our perspective on things. Changes, splits history. They were on the wrong side, the opposite side from us. You know, we're on this side, they're on that side. And I don't think that at that point in time, before the crucifixion of Jesus, the disciples really understood. They understood that Jesus was the Messiah, but they didn't yet understand what kind of Messiah, what it meant. Now, the popular conception at that time was that the Messiah, God's chosen deliverer, was going to deliver Israel from the domination of their enemies, their oppressors. And at this particular point in history, the enemies of the Jews were the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was completely in control of Israel at this time. And the popular idea was that the Messiah would come and that he would deliver Israel from the Romans. And had the apostles, the disciples, gone around preaching, Jesus of Nazareth, he's the Messiah, what would have happened? Well, it did happen. John chapter 6, after Jesus fed the 5,000, the crowd tried to take him by force and make him king. And that's exactly what would have happened if the disciples had gone on from here and preached, Jesus of Nazareth, he is the Messiah. The crowd would have taken him, set up a throne in the temple, proclaimed him the king, and given him a sword, lined up behind him a sword, and set out to attack the Romans. And Jesus would never have got to the cross, because the Romans would have crushed any rebellion. They did. AD 70 crushed it completely, so completely that they wiped out virtually the whole of Jerusalem in the process, slaughtered millions. So that's what would have happened if the disciples had gone and proclaimed at this point in time that Jesus was the Messiah. They were on the wrong side of the cross. They didn't yet know what kind of Messiah he was. So we've got the contradiction, the idea that although they knew who Jesus was in a sense, Jesus says, don't tell anyone. And you could almost put in another word, couldn't you? Don't tell anyone yet. It's not until the death and the resurrection of Jesus that we begin to see what the gospel looks like. And I don't think it was until Another 40 days elapsed after the resurrection. Jesus taught the disciples in private. He came and went, appeared, disappeared, and instructed them. And then the day of Pentecost comes, and up stands Peter, and he does what we think he should have done now, which is proclaims Jesus as the Messiah. But now he knows what that means. So that's the one element of the contradiction. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. But there's another kind of contradiction, I suppose, wrapped up here as well. So what kind of Messiah was Jesus? Verse 22, he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." And just put yourself in the disciples' sandals again here. You know, if they were gobsmacked by the command not to tell anyone, then they must have been even more gobsmacked by this when Jesus says to them, "The Son of Man," and that was one of his favorite expressions for himself, "Son of Man must suffer many things." It gets worse, be rejected by the elders. The elders were all the, you know, the head people of society. You know, people looked up to them. They were respected. The chief priests and the teachers of the law, the religious elite, were going to reject Jesus. Just how would you have felt? You just signed up, you just left your fishing boat, you were just following Jesus. And Jesus is the Messiah, you know, great, we're on the cusp of something fantastic. And suddenly he says, "Don't tell anyone that I'm the Messiah. And furthermore, as the Messiah, I'm going to suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the leaders of the people, the leaders of religion, chief priests, teachers of the law, and be killed." And that's the funny thing. I've stopped it there deliberately because an amazing thing is when you go through the Gospels, it's quite clear that the disciples did not get the last part of what Jesus said. Because they would say, "Well, that's terrible, but he's coming back again, he's coming back to life, it's not so bad." They didn't get that at all. And it wasn't until after Jesus rose from the dead that they realized, "Oh yeah, I understand now. He did say that, didn't he?" He must be killed. And the idea of a suffering, rejected, dead Messiah didn't figure anywhere in the popular understanding, which is amazing because it's all over the Old Testament. You know, go back to the sacrificial system. What was all that about? Why did they have to sacrifice a lamb to take away sin? Why? You know, it's there. It's pointing to Jesus. You know, you look at Psalm 22, which describes the suffering of Christ in such minute detail, yet written 1,000 years before the event. It's there. Isaiah 53, these are just some of the big ones. It's there, the idea that the Messiah had to suffer. And yet they didn't get it. People didn't get it. The disciples didn't get it. And they certainly didn't get the fact that he was going to rise again from the dead. I think it's quite funny in a black sort of way that the only people who actually got it were his enemies because they were so scared that he was going to come back or something was going to happen and the body would vanish that they wanted the tomb sealed after the crucifixion. So we have this kind of double contradiction. On one hand, Jesus says to the disciples, "Don't tell them I'm the Messiah." On the other hand, he reveals what kind of Messiah he actually is, a suffering, dying Messiah. We see that is the real Jesus. I think it's funny that even in our own day, people recoil from the idea that Jesus is a dying Savior. That is there not some other way? I mean, he's a great teacher. Yeah, I know he's a great teacher. That's fine. He did a lot of good, and that's great too, but that's not enough. He had to go to the cross. And there's a slightly darker edge here that I just want to mention to you, because if the disciples had proclaimed at this point in time that Jesus was the Messiah, the people would have taken him, made him king, and the Romans would have crushed the rebellion and killed him. And he would not have gone to the cross. And in Matthew's account, very interesting detail, when shortly after Peter's great confession, Jesus explains to them that he's going to the cross, and Peter takes Jesus to one side and he says to him, Lord, this is not going to happen to you. You're not going to die. And what does Jesus say to him? Get behind me, Satan. And there's a darker edge here. The idea that I believe that Satan did not want Jesus to go to the cross. Now, let's not run away with the idea that Satan knows everything and that he's equal and opposite to God. He's not. He's a created fallen angel. He's not the opposite of God, but he is evil and he has some insight into what God is doing. And I believe that at this point in time, Satan knew that if Jesus went to the cross, as far as Satan was concerned, the game was over. You know, his power is broken and his kingdom's gone up in flames. So anything he could do to stop Jesus going to the cross, he would try, even using the love of Jesus' friend Simon Peter. Isn't that low? That's what Satan is like. So there's that kind of darker edge hidden here that Jesus had to just slap them down and say, no, don't tell anyone, because if you do, they'll get the wrong idea, it'll all be messed up, and God's plan of salvation could play into Satan's hands, and we don't want that. So we've had confusion, we've had confession, we've had a contradiction, and next thing up, and there's a lot of text there on the screen, and in some ways I was almost hoping I'd run out of time and leave this bit. This is the scariest bit of the whole section. And the word I've used is consideration. Consideration is just like thinking.